Welcome to Backdoor Cover. I'm Ross Bolin here with Dan Regester.
We are coming to you live from the granddaddy of them all, Micah's Pool House.
The granddaddy of them all?
And Dylan Shivery.
Hey guys, what's going on?
As you may or may not know, if you listen to other Grand X podcasts, you are probably already aware, but we are homeless for 3 weeks minimum here between offices while our new office is finished being built out. And as a result, we are recording from Micah's domicile, which just happens to be some random dude's pool house.
Also of note, I can't connect to his Wi-Fi, so that's cool.
Important note, Dylan doesn't have the internet.
It's just nice to see somebody, actually.
Yeah, I've been up here for like 12 hours already, so I don't feel that way, but I'm glad you're getting out of your house to come see people.
Also, when we first walked in, there was like this little shed that I thought was the actual pool house. I was very much looking forward to like fitting into that. But it turns out it's a little bit bigger.
No, it's the ultimate setup. It's the ultimate bachelor pad that we're recording in. And it's a little disconcerting to know Micah shits, eats, and has sex within 5 feet of where we're recording, but
it feels very college-y in here.
He's got a dual TV setup.
College apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got his gaming. I mentioned this on Touching Base. We did it earlier.
It feels more to me like divorced guy who's just
scramble for a place,
fuck it.
And his buddy's like, look, I got this pool house. You can like,
and he's like, I'm coming in. Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's like $400 a month. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
like the kids come over and they're like, daddy, what is this?
Also worth mentioning, if you just like poke your head outside his door, you get an awesome view of Lake Austin and downtown Austin. So it's a really tight place.
Oh yeah. No, the view is going to be hard to beat, and the pool and the hot tub.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Did you bring your trunks?
No, it's, you know, the weather isn't great.
True.
It's about as bad as it could be.
I don't think we've seen the sun in 2018.
No, we had the sun for like 15 minutes the other day. It was huge. I tweeted about it.
Yeah, but it's gone now. Is she gone?
But yeah, it didn't last long. All right, let's open up with some NBA here. I've got a couple things I want to talk about. The first of which is players complaining about the referees. This has always been a thing in every sport, right? But this particular season in the NBA, shit has kind of gone sideways. Every big name has had at least 1 week in the news cycle where they were the guy that was leading the charge on how the referees suck. The players and referees have their relationship is at like an all-time high in terms of tension. The most recent guy to air out the referees is Paul George, saying that the Thunder big three don't get any calls, that they get officiated differently than other stars in the league, which is just absurd, because all of the stars in the league get officiated differently. That they don't get the benefit of the doubt, that it's just...
Why do you think... excuse me.
Yeah.
This is all bullshit.
I don't think it's bullshit. I think it's being handled in the absolutely wrong way by both sides. The concept of player versus referee is very similar to like regular dude versus police officer. No one likes authority. Or I guess I don't know of any. Like, I think it's natural for humans to be, you know, to have a problem with authority. And in the case of the NBA, as the example we are talking about, it is a very weird situation because it's some of the most talented, highly paid athletes on the planet, and then just regular motherfuckers in pinstripes running around blowing whistles. So it makes it even more complex. But what the nonstop complaining doesn't get us anywhere, and it just makes you look like a pussy. And instead of it being about like the media or any of the fans putting these guys in check at this point, it's all of us being like, ooh, yeah, feed this 24-hour news cycle with complaints.
See, this is actually one of my favorite things in sports. It's like you have to earn your stripes in the league. Like they do this in baseball a lot where pitchers, when they first come into the league, their strike zone's a little bit tighter. But like the longer you're in the league, the strike zone expands. So that's why like Jamie Moyer was able to pitch till he's like 55.
Yeah.
Because they would just give him like... outrageous strike zone.
In baseball, that's seen as like the human element. It's like a cool part of the game. You don't hear pitchers bitching about that often.
But do you think it has an effect on how the games are officiated? If they know...
Absolutely.
If it's brought to their attention that LeBron, for example, is getting wrongfully called over and over again, and they see a pattern like, oh, maybe we're fucking this up, will they right the wrong on the court?
Yes. I mean, I think it go.
Well, then maybe the bitching is worth it to these guys.
That's the thing. The NBA has to de-incentivize the bitching. And I know they're trying to fine guys, but it's like these fines are slap on the wrist. They don't do anything. But right now, it's the soccer thing. If you bitch enough, if you fake it enough, if you flop enough, eventually
you'll get the calls.
You're going to get some calls.
Yeah.
And in a game where every call seemingly matters so much and every play matters so much, that is worth it to these guys. If you don't, as a league, make it not worth it to them, they're going to keep doing it. But also, you just have to look at yourself in the mirror as like a man. It's like, are you fucking serious? This is the way you want to live? I don't want to make the example of like, you need to be a role model for the kids, because I don't think any of these dudes are at this point, really. Some of them are, but it's few and far between. I think we have discovered over the past 20 years that you probably shouldn't have your children following directly in the footsteps of any professional athletes at this point. Like, the most idolized athlete in the history of basketball, Michael Jordan, is like a gambling degenerate potential.
Cheats on his wife.
Yeah, point being, it's just a bad look. Like, a game doesn't go the way you want it to, so you spend the entire press conference after the game complaining about these regular motherfucker zebras.
And I have a feeling that you feel strongly about this because the Rockets are the target of said bitching, or lots of bitching.
Sort of, but it's the...
Harden gets it a lot, I know.
Oh, he gets tons of foul calls because he gets fouled a lot.
He gets fouled a lot. And
now,
it's largely due to his style of play.
I don't think that anybody has directly complained about... Any players have directly complained about Harden getting foul calls, to my knowledge. I'm just more upset about the complaining in general. Like, even from LeBron, it's like, did you hear the soundbite of him being like, chicks dig the long ball, so shooters get protected from behind the three-point line, and guys like me who drive and get hacked all game, we don't get any calls? That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. Chicks dig the long ball is obviously a baseball saying. And yes, chicks dig home runs because home runs are tight as hell and the most exciting thing that can happen in the sport of baseball.
The most exciting thing in basketball is a dunk. It's not a three.
Yes. Three-pointers are by and large relatively boring. Yes, they're worth more points, and that is tight. But dunks are way cooler. Who the fuck would argue that chicks dig the long ball? Chicks aren't... we're not creaming our pants for three-pointers. Yes, it's cool when Steph hits a three, but to argue that the league is protecting shooters because chicks dig the long ball is just kind of silly.
That's a dumb comment.
Can I just interject for a second? Why is no one giving LeBron shit about using a catchphrase from a 1998 commercial?
Chicks dig the long ball?
Yeah, no, that's a recurring saying, though. Yes,
we can do better than this, LeBron.
Well, he fucked that whole premise up. But the saying is still...
Can't we come up with like a more recent pop culture reference, though, than chicks dig the long ball? This was before people knew that these dudes were on steroids. That's
coming
why
like
it was
Greg
cool.
Maddux commercial,
yeah,
back
coming
in
from
the day.
A Phillies fan, that was still a tight commercial with Maddux.
Pitchers were taking BP or something.
Dude, that was a badass commercial.
Yeah.
It's just the complaining, man. It's like, I feel like in the 90s, early 2000s, when players bitched and moaned, the media roasted them. It was like, shut the fuck up and play the game. But now it's like, yes, give us more. The drama, views, clicks, Instagram likes. It just sucks. It. Unfortunately, nobody on the Rockets Harden has had a couple of comments about the referees this year. He said there was bullshit calls after one game. But for the most part, these guys just shut up and play, which I like. And that might partially be because Harden gets tons of foul calls because he gets fouled constantly. But I'm happy that my team isn't like this because it's a fucking bad look.
Yeah, I mean, side note, like, is there anybody worse in pickup ball than the guy that calls a foul every time he drives to the basket?
No, and that's what half the NBA is now too.
Yeah. It's like every time they go to the
if you don't yell and one after you shoot it, you're not playing hard, I guess. Like, it sucks. It's a bummer. And the nonstop complaining is taking away from the season for me. which obviously is a bad thing.
Even with 13 in a row?
14 in a row, 13 in a row.
13 in a row. But I'm a huge Rockets fan, first and foremost. But I am an NBA fan overall. And I like to see the league do well and the season to be as exciting and fun as it can possibly be. And right now I'm just getting sick of, like, every time I turn on, well, let's be real, I'm not really turning on TV, but every time I get on Instagram, it's like a fucking video of one of these guys complaining about the referees. And it's like, tell us in the comment section what you think about the referees so far this season. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Is it the players doing it more than they used to, or is it the,
it's an impossible sport to referee, dude.
Okay, here's my question. Are the players bitching as much as they always have, or is the media just latching onto this more than they always have?
I think it's the latter, but it's they fuel each other. Like, once there's a lot of bitching and the media's like, oh, shit.
We should be bitching, too.
This is tight. We can fucking run with this and get people to watch it. It's like, then they, you know how it is.
I don't know what they, like, actually said during the time, but all the old school guys that played in, like, the 80s and 90s, they used to say, like, yeah, you come through the lane, you used to get taken out, like... There's no easy baskets.
Yeah, you get like clotheslined going for a layup. Barkley would punch you in the dick.
Like, I don't know how true that was. But
it wasn't even a flagrant foul. It was just a common foul if you got punched in the dick. By the way, the old heads saying like...
That's annoying as shit.
Those guys fucking suck. You're done. You're old. You're played. It's over for you. Nobody gives a shit about what the game was like back when you played. Like, I'm 30 years old. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I can't pretend I'm, like, the same age as the stars in the league, even. Most of these guys are, like, 24 years old and shit. I would be an old guy in the NBA. But I'm not going to sit here and relish the glory days of 1990s basketball when hard-hitting fouls were still a thing.
The mid-range but it, shot.
But it still wasn't that different. They make it seem like there were fist fights on the court.
There were.
Yeah, well, those got called. Those were fouls. No one got away with that shit.
It was radically different in that they didn't shoot threes. Like, nobody shot threes back then.
The weird thing, Dylan, to me about all that shit is it's like... It was just a totally different era. You can't compare the two things. It doesn't work like that. And then old guys sitting back and talking about how much harder they had it is another bad look. It's like, shut the fuck up. You're like the... This isn't a fraternity. The hazing didn't get worse or something. It's like...
The classic hazing line.
Man, back in my day.
Dude, that was a year ago. Shut up.
Yeah, just shut the fuck up.
That's all aspects of life, though. Like, you're always going to think you had it, like, better or worse.
I just feel like that's all so played out at this point. Like, can't we find other shit to talk about? I love Barkley and Kenny and Shaq and Ernie, but I'm sick of turning on Inside the NBA and it being them talking about back when they played. Bro... You're done. It's over. Let's focus on the current fucking players. Those dudes never shut the fuck up about how things have changed. All right, that being said, moving on to the other part I wanted to talk about. James Harden haters. And I mean fans and viewers, not players or league officials or referees. The people that complain that all James does is try to get fouled are rolling with like a 5-year-old narrative that has absolutely no bearing in this actual season, and it's infuriating.
Why do you think that?
Because there were seasons when Harden would absolutely, there were whole seasons.
Dude, there were playoffs last year. I would watch games. I'd be like, he is trying to go to the line for 3 points, for 3 free throws.
Okay, well, those rip-through moves are a different animal, and they largely eliminated that. Having watched the amount of games I have this year, I'd say I've probably watched 75% of the Rockets games so far, probably less than I usually do because I don't have League Pass on Google Fiber, but that is no longer the way he's playing. This is not when he didn't really have any help and he was trying to get fouled every play. And there was legit seasons where he did that. Like, even as a Rockets fan that was in denial at the time, I will admit there were seasons where he did that, and he was very miserable to watch for the rest of the league, I'm sure, and I understand. But that's not the case anymore. If he's getting fouled and they're calling the fouls, this shit is not on him. What's he supposed to do?
I mean, there's been plenty of like all-time greats that have made a career doing that, too.
Yes, that's the way the fucking sport works.
Nobody bitched when Paul Pierce used to do it.
They've made multiple rule changes because of this guy to try to lessen the amount of foul calls that he gets, and he's still out there beating ass and leading the league in scoring. What the fuck do you want him to do?
Did they make a rule to fix the rip-through?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a continuation anymore. No, it's a floor foul. And the weird thing is if you watch a bunch of NBA games, there's a lot of guys who still get the call, like they go to the free throw line, but not Harden. Because it's the James Harden rule.
Yeah.
And look, there's going to continue to be shit like that. He's going to keep finding loopholes, and they're going to have to keep shutting him down because that's what you're supposed to do as a player.
He's damn good at it.
You find ways to score. But this is not a year where I feel like that's a valid argument or something to complain about. And I get that it's frustrating to lose. But every time we beat somebody now, it's all I see on Twitter is how Harden, all he does is shoot free throws. If you go, I've seen multiple graphics posted over the past 48 hours. If you took free throws away from the game of basketball completely, guess who's leading the league in scoring? James Harden. Guess who's second? LeBron James. The free throws are, it's just part of the sport. If you foul people, they go to the free throw line. I'm just sick of the complaining. I just want to enjoy it. Enjoy the game. And enjoy the best team that I've had in my lifetime without all these people sullying my good time.
And he's making his free throws.
And he's making the free throws. The other thing...
That's what it... The thing about free throws, Ross...
You got to make them.
Got to make them. And they should be free. It's in the name.
Yeah. They're not free, though.
As every white, like, old dad has said, no reason to miss your free throws.
You know, freedom isn't free, and neither are free throws. Why do we keep putting the word free in things that aren't free?
My favorite description of free throws is the charity stripe.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah.
Like, it's charity when you get fat, when another grown man hammers you on your way to the hoop.
You fucking earned
it. Here's two free throws. Here's some charity for you.
The other complaint you get constantly with Harden is he travels on every possession. No, he doesn't. If he traveled on every possession, it would get whistled on every possession. And if you have a problem with that shit, again, go to the fucking NBA official rule book or whatever.
Nah, you don't need to do that.
Or just shut the fuck up and watch the sport. Just shut the fuck up. We just become a society of nonstop complaining, bitching, moaning pussies. That's what it is. And I mean, I know that's not exactly a new concept, but it's gotten to the point with the NBA this year where I'm just like dying here. I can't take it anymore. Just shut the fuck up. Everybody has an excuse for when they lose or why they can't stop somebody. Yeah, they're referees. Figure it out, dude. If it's that big of a problem, punch him in the dick like Barkley would have.
Punch him right in the dick.
Do something different. Take somebody down.
Well, he's got Chris Paul on his team. Noted dick puncher.
He is a noted dick puncher. That's a good point.
He got a fit off the other night, by the way.
Who, Chris Paul?
Chris Paul.
What was he wearing?
The cowboy get up.
Oh, dude.
That was so tight.
Why do you have the shirt tucked into the jeans?
Dude, he was killing it. He was going, he had the jeans tucked into the boots, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, for those who saw awesome. The picture, it was Go Western Day, all right? And for some reason, athletes in Houston that aren't from Houston, we have a big rodeo, the Houston Rodeo in Houston. And during rodeo time, guys like J.J. Watt or Chris Paul or whoever, these non-Texan guys who are like, well, fuck it. I've always wanted to dress like a cowboy. They come in looking like Woody from Toy Story, and it's really weird. Really
funny. I didn't know that it was for Go Western Day or whatever it is. This is, I don't know if it was this way when you were growing up in Houston, but children now, like the entire city of Houston wear dressed up like
cowboys.
It
was that way when I was a kid. It's really bizarre.
Yeah, kids still do this.
I'll be straight with you. I always hated it. I don't like the rodeo, and I don't like dressing up like a cowboy.
Dude,
I'm not a cowboy.
I hate the rodeo.
I'm a dude who wears joggers and Ultra Boosts every day. I'm not a guy who wears fucking jeans and a cowboy hat.
You're an urban streetwear guy.
I'm urban trash.
Yes.
I'm not.
Micah?
I was just going to interrupt you and say one other thing. The SportsCenter Twitter account apparently just exists to create memes. Because they had a meme of him, Chris Paul walking and then Woody from Toy Story.
Oh my God.
And it was some joke about that. I was like, is this what you're doing now?
ESPN is
the world leader in sports is just doing fucking Fat Jerry ripoffs. Go fuck yourself. I'll save it for later, but
they have bottomed out.
Bring it.
They have bottomed out in pretty much every way.
Like, it's clear that some intern is just told, like, get as many likes and retweets as you can. Like, so we're just a meme account now.
No shit. House of Highlights as an Instagram account is a more entertaining sports platform than the entirety of ESPN combined. The only difference
is I don't follow. They post too much.
House of Highlights?
It just
overwhelms
my feed.
I don't know anyone who actually follows the ESPN accounts because they're so terrible. But the the people you hate most on Twitter are the ones that always retweet the memes, and it's infuriating.
I will say though, if you ever see me in a cowboy hat and cowboy boots, like go ahead and put me down because I'm already dead inside.
Yeah, it would have to be forced upon me by a female. I'm with you. Put me down too.
He got it off as like a novelty outfit, though. Look, he pulled it off well.
Again, it's for the dudes who aren't from Texas who are like, this is gonna get on ESPN. I get it.
Yeah,
I'm not hating on him doing it. I'm just saying it's not for me. That's all.
Let's talk Cubes, man.
Yeah, Mark Cuban. To talk about the other NBA subject we have. Mark Cuban apparently the other night took a bunch of his players out to dinner and told them, we aren't competing for the playoffs. Losing is our best option. And I'm not really clear on how this got out, but it did. And he got fined, I think, $600,000, breaking his previous record of $500,000 for a coach's fine.
Wasn't that also part of the all the scandal that was going on in the clubhouse with like a writer or something?
Are you referring to the sexual scandal in the Mavericks organization? Unrelated. The fine was just about his comment, not about the investigation into the Mavericks' sexual issues, which is a shame.
Why $600,000? That is a hefty fine.
You're not allowed to do this.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But just talking about it in a private setting, it wasn't a public
statement.
Here's
the thing. It compromises the integrity of the league as a whole if you have teams intentionally losing.
Tanking?
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Tanking is fucked up. And
no, it's the right thing to do.
It's smart. Well, you're a Philly guy, so you're totally...
Trust the process.
You can't be trusted when it comes to this process.
It worked.
Sort of.
We got the best center in the league now.
Okay.
We got a generational passer in Ben Simmons.
What the hell is a generational passer? What does that even mean?
Once in a generation type passer.
Okay, Dan, you wouldn't actually argue that tanking is a good thing for a sport.
For basketball, it is. Because like, you have no other choice. You can either be wildly mediocre and be in that like 7 to 10 range, or be really good.
All right. I'm a massive homer now, but the Rockets haven't tanked in like 20 years. And they've been fine. We've been competitive. There's been a couple years we missed the playoffs, but that's it. They were able to rebuild
without
tanking. Yeah,
but you were able to get a star in like James Harden, and like you have Chris Paul now. There's organizations
without
that,
tanking.
Yeah, but you're also a big-time market in Houston. A lot of teams like Milwaukee.
Philly's a big fucking market, man.
Yeah, but basketball is weird. Like, there's no reason to be a 7 or 8 seed. You might as well just be really bad and get a good draft pick.
They have to do something about this issue in the NBA because it's still very clearly a problem. And enough people see the benefits, as you do, as we all. I see the benefits, but it's the
question about the comment he made to his team or to his players and how he was fined for it. Where's the proof that he said this?
Not to step on you, but it was a public statement because he talked about it on Dr. J's podcast. He said, "I was in a meeting. Or I was at a dinner with my guys."
So he ratted himself.
He ratted himself. I have a conspiracy theory here. Now, I don't know if he knew he was going to get fined $600,000, but I'm pretty sure that Cuban did this on purpose to take some of, at least half the heat
deflection
off, to deflect away from his organization being a fucking slum, just a slum land of sketchiness and sexual misappropriation.
That is not hard to believe at all.
And I have evidence of him doing this before, because about, it might be 10 years ago, I don't know, Dirk was dating some chick who turned out to be a con artist. Do you remember this?
He like proposed to her.
Yeah, and she was living in his house, and she was like owned by the FBI and owed and was stealing from. Like, it was a crazy story. And right before it came out, Cuban came out and just like went scorched earth on the referees or on David Stern or on somebody. And it was right before the playoffs started. And some reporters ask him like the next season, like, "Hey, was that coincidental?" He's like, "Do you think that was fucking coincidental?" Like, of course. He just wanted to stand up in the locker room. Cuban could walk in and he could yell, talk to all the media, so nobody was over there asking his star player about the crazy con artist who was living with him. So I think he did this on purpose, but to a normal person, $600,000 is probably more than he would have been willing to do this, but I don't think Cuban really cares.
Well, no, he's billion.
But they are.
$600,000 is $600,000, though.
Like, you know, I mean, Cuban. If
I don't care who you are.
Yeah, if you believe all this stuff, Cuban had, you know, presidential aspirations, perhaps. It's going to be a lot harder to get that Me Too vote when the organization you're the most hands-on owner in sports is apparently just a slum, just trash.
A slumlord.
So he's a slumlord of sexual craziness.
It wasn't even that. The guy was like physically abusive too, right? The one rider?
Yeah, that Cuban refused to fire. The guy, he got arrested at the Mavs headquarters for his second domestic violence incident.
What?
And Cuban did not fire him.
Okay, I dig this theory because if you were asking Mark Cuban, hey man, will you pay $600,000 to have all these terrible things about your franchise knocked down to like the third or fourth headline so that you can be the first headline? You pay that $600,000.
Makes a lot of sense, actually.
But in general, it also just points to the issue the NBA has still not solved, which is like, how do you keep teams from tanking? And finding Mark Cuban $600K is not the answer. This is how many times have these guys been fined? How many times have we talked about tanking over the past 15 years? It's just become a perennial part of every season.
I kind of thought Cuban, I mean, you can't say it, but there's something about it that's interesting that he would actually say it as opposed to all the dishonest shit that we get about tanking.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird message to send that the commissioner wants everyone to lie about it. Because clearly, like, 10 teams are tanking, but they can't admit it. Even though they clearly are.
It's also just a hard sport.
Everyone knows it.
You can't. It's like taking a fall in a boxing match. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, like,
how do you tank?
The Bulls just caught up a bunch of, like, G Leaguers. They're like, all right, guys, come on up.
Yeah, we want to see what these young guys have. No, you don't. No, you're trying to lose as many games as possible.
You're just tanking, bro. That's just tanking. Like, you got punched in the fucking rib cage and you're down.
I mean, it just really, like, it sucks if you're a season ticket holder and you thought your team was going to be good and they try the first 20 games.
There are a lot of reasons.
And then they tank.
It's a very bad thing for the sport. There's the only plus side argument that, yes, you have to tank to be able to get higher draft picks isn't even that heavy. The Sixers were able to get, what, the number one pick how many times?
Well, we got Ben Simmons with the number one pick, so once. And then we traded for the Fultz pick. So Mike is bringing up Fultz. But yeah, we got the three. We traded Boston for the one.
Okay. So my point is, it's not that effective to tank either.
Well, I mean,
the draft isn't even that effective.
That's kind of like the reason they have the lottery is just because you have the worst record doesn't mean you're going to get the first pick.
Yeah, but you got a really good chance. But even if you do, how often does the first pick pan out?
More often than none.
If you go look down the list at like the last 20 number one picks, it's pretty hit or miss. It's a tough league to draft. Like, in my opinion,
who are the misses? Like Anthony Bennett, obviously, is really bad.
I don't know. I don't have the brain power to recall. But it's a tough league to build through the draft, to me. Like, you're better off trying to build through trades and building up the culture of your organization as a place that people want to play. Now, I don't know what the answer is or how you fix any of this shit, but it seems like a pretty glaring issue when you've got stuff like this going on still. Like, they've made progress in a lot of areas in the NBA, but the tanking thing still bugs the fuck out of me. The other part of this that came out in the news today was Dirk publicly opposing Cuban's statements, which, again,
you have to do.
You have to believe that they've had a conversation behind the scenes anyway.
Oh, and of course.
Yeah, so
well, this is like, is this Dirk's last year? He's got another year. What's he doing?
It needs to be his last.
He should probably hang
it up. Sorry, Dave.
He should probably hang it up. Yeah. I love Dirk, but he's old
career,
as fuck.
He's like killing his career numbers right now.
It's one season. He's played for like 20 years. But yeah, you don't want to fuck up your stats.
Just get in the hall, man.
Yeah. Nah, he's in the hall. Auto lock.
He's definitely in the hall.
Auto lock.
It'll look nicer if he just calls it quits early.
Anyway, Dirk with some he said you don't really want a culture here that's just giving up and quitting and not playing hard. Great point. I think it just sets the wrong tone for the future. Man, that's some deep shit. Moving on. Let's talk about golf. Justin Thomas won the Honda Classic. He's 24 years old now and he has what? Like 8 wins?
And a major.
Player of the year last year.
Yeah. He had 5 wins last year, I think.
Is it goddamn shame that he signed a polo? That is a terrible shirt.
Ralph Lauren.
And the huge logo.
Fuck, it's
polos.
Awful. Holy
those are
shit.
So bad.
He has the worst outfits, dude.
Yeah. So he's in the news for not just winning the tournament, but he got some jackass.
Yeah, nobody gives a shit about that.
I do.
You care about the Honda Classic?
No. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm saying the part you're talking about is the only part that matters. Yeah.
So some jackass, I guess he was chirping him a few holes leading up to it, but on the 18th, after his tee shot, this guy from the gallery yells out, get in the bunker.
And then
get in that bunker.
Justin Thomas is like, boom, you're gone, buddy. I forgot. I don't know the exact quote.
He was like, have a good day, buddy.
You're gone.
You're out. Enjoy your day. You're out of here. Something like that. Yeah.
This is such a weak bitch ass move.
It is.
I fucking hate it.
But it's, I like Justin Thomas's part.
Yes, I like Justin Thomas, but this was such a weak thing to do. Look, you're trying to grow the sport. You make millions of dollars. This guy pays your salary in a way. He paid to be there, and do what others in other sports. This shit happens all the time. I know golf is a little bit different, but it's not like you did it during your backswing. After you hit the ball, he chirped you.
That's the thing.
He's allowed to say what he wants, and you.
It wasn't during his fucking backswing.
And you can say what you want to him too. You can say like, "Oh fuck you, buddy," or you know, whatever you say. This in other sports, this shit happens all the time.
And then you catch a fine.
But to have him kicked out of the tournament is a Bush League weak ass bitch move, and I fucking hate it.
What he said though too is so lame and cheese dicky.
Get in the bunker.
It's kind of endearing.
It's not like he said I fucked your wife. He said get in the bunker. Like, he just wants you to lose, and he's letting you know that.
It would have been funny as shit if he yelled, I fucked your wife.
Like, dude, you're trying to grow the game, and you have to embrace, like, this younger crowd who might be a little bit more, you know, boisterous. They're going to say what they want, and they're gonna chirp at you, and you need to be ready for it.
And he's one of the faces of the younger generation, yes, too. So like,
to have him kicked out, and I understand, you're not happy with the guy, that's cool. Say what you want to him, but to have him kicked out is so fucking
weird.
Dude,
even if you were to be like, because what he did was he was like, hey, who said that? And
yeah.
Somebody was like, this guy.
He sought like, him out.
You're gone. Get out of here. Have a nice day, sir, or whatever. Even if you were to be like, hey, who said that? And get him pointed out and be like, dude, that's not cool. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Anything but what he did.
Yeah.
And I think he realizes that. You got to give him. He's 24
and
years old.
He did apologize on Twitter.
He got all up on Twitter talking about how.
He said the right things.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought even his apology was fucking ridiculous. It was like.
He said he regretted after he did it. He said what he had to do.
But why did he say. He said he regretted it because he didn't want to lose fans.
He just explained. Yeah.
He also apologized for saying, like, fuck yeah when he won or something.
Well, you don't apologize for that.
He was mic'd up for that.
I understand the argument that if you're trying to grow the game of golf, this is exactly the type of shit that's going to prevent that from happening. And I agree. But I do want to find the line. Because we don't know where it is with, like, fans and golf. It's such a different ball game than other sports. It's always been established as, like, this gentleman's game where...
Fuck that. You should be able to heckle. You should be able to make as much noise as you want.
But there has to be a line somewhere.
No, fuck them.
Like, golf purists are... They side with JT.
Absolutely,
here.
Yeah. Because those people fucking suck.
I read a bunch of his responses to his tweets. And, like, a lot of guys that don't... You don't need to apologize. That guy was a dickhead. Stuff like that. And that's just the golf purist
dude, it's
mentality.
Such a weird
it's like,
thing,
dude,
though.
That's an enough. Like, it's a fun sport and it's a fun to go to. And they serve beer there. It's fun.
Yeah, you can get fucked up.
You can get fucked up at a golf tournament. We're about to do that here in the next month.
And you should be able to get rowdy.
And you should get rowdy, but you also have to respect the game. Like, just I mean, well, you don't yell in someone's backswing.
Why not?
You don't say, I want to fuck your mother or something like that.
Your
what? There are lines.
They're world-class athletes. They should be able to concentrate through that.
No, not backswing.
They're not Micah.
Golf's different in that.
Going
in
out
that
the lines.
All right, I'm going to read his tweet here.
Someone needs to teach him how to do a tweet thread.
Jesus. He said, getting a lot of comments on the fan incident yesterday. Sorry to any and all offended by it. What? Offended by it?
It's not an offensive thing. It was just a dumbass thing that you did.
There was more said as we walked to the tee, wishing bad things on the course for myself or Luke. Then the get in the bunker comment over and over again. I felt it was very understandable to have him escorted out. I never want to lose fans or have people root against me. Period.
Well, that's just life, man.
Who says that out loud? The reason he's making this public address on Twitter is because he doesn't want to lose fans? That's like the unsaid thing that you don't say.
Was he speaking about fans of himself or fans of the game?
Probably
both.
Himself.
I would assume it applies to both. Because the only way he gets fans is if there's fans of the game in the first place. It just comes off as like so transparent to me in a bad way. Like, wait a minute. So you're only up on Twitter saying this because you think you're going to lose fans? Do you care about what you think is right, or do you care about losing fans? Because I don't like you if all you're worried about is impressing fans and growing your fan base. It's not about what you think is right or wrong.
Yeah.
Like, be a fucking man. If you thought it was wrong, say it. Stand by what you did. What is this bullshit Twitter apology? Then he's saying he shouldn't have had the guy kicked out. He feels bad. But, I love all my fans, and sorry to hear that I've lost quite a few because of that. That isn't fun. it just, the whole thing made him look like a bitch ass, like you said. I'm just bummed out by people being pussies today. It just bums me out.
Hey, good on that guy for waiting until he actually struck the ball to get a comment in like that.
On 18.
Getting that bunker is not shit talking.
That's not bad.
We should probably, he'll be at the WGC in Austin. I feel like we should just like yell, get in that bunker every hole.
We probably shouldn't do that.
I think the thing he's failed to realize here is that this is definitely going to happen again now.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me you're not, like you just said, tell me you're not tempted to yell, get in that bunker in the midst of a Justin Thomas shot now.
After a shot. I would do it, Doran, too. I don't know. I think golfers should just adopt
the crowd will a little self correction there. They'll make sure you don't do that.
Yeah, they'll fuck you up.
Yeah, they won't fuck you up, but they'll like, dude.
They'll point so hard.
They'll definitely point.
Yeah. Dude, it's just bizarre. Like, Dylan, you've been to the Masters. We've been to the Masters. Oh, yeah. If you sneeze near the tee box, like 6 or 7 people will like turn around and look at you like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. That's like the self-policing you're talking about that is so bizarre. You feel like you can't breathe at a golf tournament.
Yeah.
There's a lot wrong with the
game. They got to loosen up.
Yeah.
But I don't think people should just be allowed to yell whatever they want whenever they want like Dan.
No. That's nuts. Dan's crazy for that.
Why not?
This isn't Happy Gilmore.
They do it every other sport. Like,
but golf, you need, it's like total concentration.
The ambiance of the game is a big part of the game. It is.
Yeah.
If there was noise the whole time, like I'm watching golf on TV for the fucking birds and crickets so I can fall asleep.
You can't tell me there's not more concentration trying to hit like 100-mile-an-hour fastball than a ball that's just standing on a tee.
It's totally different.
There's a lot less mechanical.
Dan wants a Happy Gilmore environment. Beach balls and people doing beer bombs.
We had that at the Phoenix Open. Just go to the Phoenix Open.
16, but then it's starting to get more corporate now. It's not as cool as it used to be.
It's still a scene, man.
And, I mean, I want more of, like, a Ryder Cup environment. Like, everyone just heckling
right.
The other side.
That's fun.
Well, I'm all for golf finding the happy medium.
It's a team event, though.
Obviously, the diehard purists.
Fuck them.
Those people.
It's a dying sport.
Those people need to realize that they are fucking up. Obviously, trash humans like Dan also need to realize that.
I'm not trash, man. I was in the golf industry for 2.5 years, like,
okay,
at Golf Channel. Like,
but, I know
this
you're
is
just
a huge problem.
I know you're just making an argument to make it that it should go full blown Happy Gilmore. That wouldn't work. Guys wouldn't be able to play.
Get tougher guys.
They're little white dudes.
Sorry,
for the most
Jordan
part.
Spieth. Yeah. If you can't swing a pitch,
guarantee
some guy
he's
yelling
just soft,
about
bitch,
your
white
sister.
Guys. Guaranteed, yeah. Dustin Johnson doesn't get phased by any of that.
Yeah, because he's too stupid to know what
yes,
it even means.
Which is awesome.
That's why he's your favorite player.
Yeah,
it's like yelling at a rock.
Him and Kepka.
If you yell, "I fucked your wife," at Dustin Johnson, he'll be like, "Actually, I fucked your wife."
Yeah,
and his wife,
the guy I'm teeing up with, and the cameraman's wife over there, and then he'll do a line. Yeah,
and Dustin Johnson can whip your ass because
he's
like
huge.
An actual athlete.
He's a large man.
He's a big dude.
He's got that length. He's just wiry.
He's fucking huge. He's not wiry.
He's a big dude.
Wiry's like if I was jacked, but you couldn't tell because I'm wiry and thin.
Well, he's like 6'4". I think Wiry's just 6'4" and just kind of like.
Wiry's the kicker in the Replacements.
Hmm.
Anyway, any other thoughts on golf?
No.
Masters, I like Phil. Phil's been playing some good golf. I like Phil to win the Masters. Call it now. I think he's 25-1.
What?
So, some good odds.
First major of the year.
Also, it's crazy that Tiger is now 16-1 to win the Masters because he finished 12th.
The ultimate dumbass bet.
I don't know, man.
Who? Come on, man.
I don't know.
Back's looking good.
16-1.
I don't know.
That's just.
He's looking better and better.
See that recoil on a swing?
Every day I see another fucking quote from some random golfer that I've never heard of saying that they believe Tiger has one more major in him.
He's got like 10 more years of golf, really.
I think he could win a major.
He could win a few.
Random losers win majors on occasion.
Dude, his back is like legit fixed now. That was not an issue for the past, I don't know, 10 years. He's battling the fuck out of it. Now he actually got it fused. Like, it's legit fixed.
Homeboy got a fuse, probably got some stem cells.
Let him get his feet
maybe
back
went over
under
to
him,
Germany,
man.
Got some blood cycling.
He's old, but he's not that old.
He's younger than Phil.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil's old as shit.
And Phil, man, Phil has a major or two left in him, maybe.
Let me ask you a question. Both of you. A couple years ago, when this new group of golfers really came into their own, like Fowler, Spieth, Justin Thomas, who else is in that squad? I said Fowler.
Oh.
Whatever, you know who I'm talking about. The new young faces of the game. Basically, peak Spieth. That had to have been the most excited any of us were about golf since prime Tiger in our lifetime, right? How do you feel now, present day, about that exact same crew?
With Tiger?
No, about the young guns.
Well, I mean, my favorite young gun's Koepka, so.
Koepka's like 35, isn't he?
Koepka's like 26.
What? Why does he look 35?
He's just got a pronounced jowl.
Koepka. Brooks Koepka.
I'm still, like, I still want to see Spieth win over anybody else.
As a result of Austin.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't more excited to see Tiger play than I am Spieth right now, just because he was the most dominant golfer. Like, peak Tiger was the most dominant golfer of all time, and it was just, he literally changed the game.
And no one's going to, like, equal
crowds,
his excitement.
Crowds
ever.
Are coming back, too. Galleries are growing because he's playing in these tournaments. And it would just be really fucking cool to see him, like, on top, even if it's just for a brief moment again.
Him competing.
It's really exciting.
Him just being in the mix makes it that much more exciting.
But we're not talking about Tiger here. I'm asking you about...
I'm still really excited about Spieth and crew.
The Baker's Bay crew.
But my attention, Tiger has my attention right now.
I think Thomas probably finishes with more majors than Spieth.
Well, at the current way that Justin Thomas has performed the past couple seasons, that's not that much of a long shot.
No, but he's got one major. Spieth's got what, three?
Two.
Yeah. They're young as hell. Well, anyway, my point being, I'm out on the Baker's Bay crew. I've completely lost interest in this group of people.
Really?
Where's Smiley at?
Smiley even
he's
in
trying to, he's trying to qualify.
I don't even think he has a car.
He's on the web.com tour now.
And I don't, it's not that I don't think I would have like a good time hanging out with those guys. I just, the Justin Thomas thing was kind of the nail in the coffin for me in terms of being like all in on them. I don't see, that's not carrying me to watch golf.
I was just, never all in on them, but I am a Spieth guy.
They're just little nerdy guys.
Where the
guys.
Fuck has he been at?
He's been there.
It was like he peaked too soon. He had a year where it was just like, this kid's unstoppable. He's going to win every major until
he
dies.
He won two majors when he was 22.
And then now it's just like, you know, top 15 finishes are tied again.
I think it's just them as people, though. Like, without golf, I think they're probably total losers. Like, Spieth and Thomas and everything. But, like, guys like DJ or, like, Koepka and stuff, they didn't need golf. Like, that's why I like guys with
you
age.
Like cool guys.
Koepka doesn't even like golf. He's a baseball player.
Brooks.
Don't you think DJ needed golf more than any of them? Because he'd, like, Koepka. Be in prison if it weren't for golf?
Nah, man.
Yeah,
DJ
but
he'd be, like, a personal trainer in South
Beach. Be a part
Beach.
Of, like, a gang or something in jail.
He'd be in a gang.
That's true.
He'd be a personal trainer in South Beach. That's what he would be.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay. Do you watch the television show Westworld?
I sure watch the television show Westworld.
It's a great show, Jared, and that's why, if you're a Westworld fan, you should subscribe to our Westworld podcast, Freeze All Motor Functions, available now on Grand X Labs. You can subscribe to Grand X Labs on iTunes. Season 2 of Westworld is coming out April 22nd, and in preparation for that, we are watching Season 1 and dropping a podcast for each and every episode with the intention of getting us all as informed as possible before Season 2 comes out. I'm Ross Bolin. Jared Borslow is my co-host. Check out Freeze All Motor Functions on Grand X Labs. All right, we're back. Real quickly, we want to welcome aboard our newest sponsor, Onnit.
Hell yeah.
Which you can check out at Onnit, onnit.com/GrandX in order to get 10% off anything at onnit.com. They've got incredible supplements like Alpha Brain, New Mood, all kinds of crazy protein bars and protein bites.
Get some of that hemp protein.
Dan, you're a big supplement guy.
Huge supplement.
You're a big
guy.
Hemp guy. You wear that hemp necklace all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
I used to love hemp necklaces. No lie.
That's when big in like the baseball community now, right?
Yeah.
Like
well, pitchers. I think it's always been a weird baseball thing.
Baseball guys are just weird.
Baseball guys are fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
So check out onnit.com/GrandX unless you're a weird baseball guy.
Or
they probably love this
or
shit.
Or unless
actually.
You're a little bitch boy.
Dude, tell us more about these supplements, Micah.
Sure, I'd love to. We've talked not so much on this show, but on a lot of our shows about Alpha Brain.
What is Alpha Brain?
It's a supplement that our CEO, Madison, and our colleague Dave swear by. Dave's always talking about how he's braining.
I also enjoy it.
Dan likes it. It gives you increased focus. It's something you can take every day in the office.
It's like a mental stimulant, basically.
Is it like Adderall?
It has some effects that are similar to Adderall. It improves memory and just mental awareness, mental focus.
But not terrible for you.
It gives you a mental edge over your opponent.
My opponent?
You might have seen it at Whole Foods. I saw it there the other day there. But now you can find it at onnit.com/grandex.
Get some MCT oil.
Yeah, you've probably seen Joe Rogan wearing that Onnit t-shirt at UFC weigh-ins. Now you know why? Well, you don't know why. He's a co-founder. So check it out. This is your opportunity. Save 10%.
A lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff there. New Mood is a new product they're pushing. And then they've got apparently brand new protein bars and protein bites that they're really excited about. So check it out.
Onnit.com/grandex. If you're a sup guy, you can also listen to Sups Dog.
You can. We're actually doing a show from Onnit tomorrow.
Sups Dog is Dan hosted podcast on Grandex Labs.
Holding it down.
About fitness and health.
And lifestyle.
And lifestyle. That doesn't actually mean anything. And lifestyle.
It's just a thing.
But that's tight.
Tag on to the end.
So give Sups Dog a listen if this sounds like it's up your alley.
Live episode tomorrow from Onnit. Well, not live episode.
Oh, no shit.
But we're going to be working out as we recorded the episode. So it's going to be kind of funny.
So you're going to be like mid-squat?
Like heavy panting into the microphone?
Yeah, as we answer questions. Huge mailbag episode.
That's arousing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be sexual.
It's fun.
Moving on to college basketball. I don't know anything about this probe. I know the NCAA is fucked.
Basically, everybody's cheating, which we've known forever.
We already knew that.
But the Arizona head coach, name escapes me, was recorded like actually talking about $100,000 in cash being given to their star player, recruit.
Which that's unfortunate.
Look, every program is out there cheating. Like, it happens. Yours does, too. Don't act like yours doesn't.
I don't have
a
program, so mine does not cheat. Thank you.
So that happens, but what doesn't usually happen is a head coach being cut.
He got
wiretapped. You got to have a fall guy.
Allegedly. And the report from ESPN is starting to become more and more faulty by the day. Like, it's less credible by the day because, A, the report never really, like, quotes anything from the wiretapping. And, B, the report has all the dates mixed up. So a lot of it is you guys have to question the credibility of the report just because, I mean, obviously, coaches are paying players and like agents are paying players, but like I don't know if they really have anything on Sean Miller. He hasn't been suspended. He hasn't been fired.
The only thing I know is that wiretapping is super tight, and I know that because I'm a huge Sopranos fan. The Sopranos, possibly the greatest television show ever made. Obviously, wiretapping plays a large role in the mafia community. Rats are often asked by the FBI to wear wires and go to meetings.
Well, you know what happens to the snitches?
They get stitches.
Yes.
Yeah, they get cement boots.
Yeah.
Now, I want to know who the rat is in this situation. Did they talk this kid into wearing a wire to his meeting with this coach? Or, like, what's the...
We don't even know if there is a wiretapping. This could just be complete bullshit.
If there's no wiretapping, I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, I know that coach has been, like, suspended.
He hasn't. He didn't coach the Oregon game. Okay. He just decided it was in his best interest not to coach that game. But
he pulled himself out of that.
Yeah, he has not been suspended or fired. Look.
I'm innocent, but...
But I'm not going to coach tonight.
Take the night off.
But yeah, he allegedly gave the bag to DeAndre Ayton, who's supposed to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft coming up.
Are you saying DeAndre secured the bag?
He's about to, too, when he gets drafted first overall. He's like a 7-footer monster.
He secured the bag, though.
For college.
He secured the bag.
Allegedly. Yeah. 100 Cha-ching. Grand.
To answer your question, yeah.
But, I mean, there's multiple programs, big-time blue-blood programs that are being thrown under the bus here in these reports. Like
I saw Texas'
Duke,
name get thrown
North
out
Carolina,
there.
Carolina, Texas.
I'm into.
Michigan State.
You want some drama?
I want Texas to be cheating with the big boys. Yes. I'm sorry.
That's pathetic.
Yeah.
You just want to be mentioned in the same breath.
Well, I want to know if cheating is happening, I want my program to be doing it.
Oh, for sure.
So that I'm missing out on opportunity here.
Here's the thing, too. Like, if you're going to pay players eventually, which this might end up like being the chain reaction that causes players in football and basketball to get paid, it doesn't really matter because teams will and agents will still cheat and just pay the players more just to get them on the payroll.
Paying players will not fix this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'd still be under-the-table payments. Yeah. Like,
more money.
Yeah, I don't understand.
You still got to funnel guys to your school. The agents get involved. Shoot, yeah.
I think the only way to like get rid of this is just to, if you're an agent. And
Adidas
you get,
will slide in like, hey, you're going to sign with us.
Right.
Here's 500 grand.
If you're like just an agent or anything. Like a shoe company or whatever that gets caught doing this, you should immediately get like revoked from being able to have access. Like, if you're an agent, you should probably
lose
your license.
That's the only answer.
Yeah, you lose your license.
If you don't make it to where like, all right, here on out, if you're an agent that gets busted doing this, you're no longer a fucking agent. You cannot deal with any of our players or in any way be affiliated with any of this. Or if you're a shoe company who gets busted doing this, corrupting our league we have, you can no longer have anything to do with it. That's the only way to police it. And the beauty of it is that they care so little that they don't do that. Like, it'd be like if we were like, all right, you murdered a guy. That was fucked up. But just don't do it again.
They're making millions and millions of dollars. There's no problem for the NCAA, really. That's why it took the FBI to come in and have an investigation, because the NCAA is
so confused by the FBI's involvement in this. How does this work? Does somebody in the government one day decide, you know what, goddammit, the sports over there in the NCAA, there's enough problems now, we need to spend some money investigating
this? Has always
this.
Blown my mind, too. There's got to be some more important shit they can be doing, right? No,
surely there's more important
but
things.
It's like they have the power to be able to have like subpoenas and everything, so like the NCAA can't.
But it's a game. It's basketball. It's not it's not federal law.
Yeah, but these are some serious accusations being thrown around. Like, this is
like
with none of them are illegal
and whatnot.
Though.
I just don't.
None of them are against the law. I think what Ross is trying to say.
No, there's stuff against the law.
Like what?
You just can't pay.
That's against NCAA regulation. It's not
against
the
law. You can pay anybody for anything.
Where's this money coming
except
from?
Sex.
Why does that matter? Unless it's like drug money.
I think it matters.
I don't like the
illegal.
FBI poking their noses around.
No one's doing any jail time here is my point.
Yeah, like none of the dudes in baseball did jail time except for that one dude, right?
That was Congress.
Are you thinking? You might be thinking about steroids. That's different.
That
is against
Balco.
I am thinking about steroids.
That is illegal.
That guy in Balco went to jail because he didn't rat on Barry Bonds. And
yeah.
Barry Bonds just never
I forgot,
really
though.
The
drugs are illegal. You can't sell drugs that are illegal.
Right.
I mean, you can, but if you get caught, you have to go to jail or pay a fine or whatever.
Sure.
Which is unfortunate. But, yeah, this isn't that. This is just giving people money for doing jobs.
This is under the table.
Which you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've always been intrigued by that aspect of it as well. Like, what is it that makes the FBI decide now we have to get involved? Or what is it that... Is there a branch of the FBI that keeps an eye on, like, the NBA...
There must be.
To make sure that eventually, like, if something hits a fan, we got to step in and investigate. I just am curious about that.
Well, I think this is like the same FBI branch that took down, like, John Gotti and stuff. So, like, they go for, like, publicity cases.
I don't think it's the same branch that took down Gotti. But I will say this. If I was to pursue a career in the FBI, I'd like to be in the sports wing.
Yeah.
Feels like that's the one to be in. The least danger, the least amount of danger.
Right.
You know, you're hunting down like Calipari, not Pablo Escobar.
Yeah, you don't want to get in the drug cartel wing of the.
That's the bad one.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's when
tough.
You get got.
Speaking of which, the Olympics, I think they're over.
Thank God.
Are they over?
Yeah, they're over.
I saw the closing ceremonies on Sunday night. I guess that means it's finished.
You know, I'm a flip flop back to my original sentiment that the Winter Olympics were shit. I had fun for one day.
They just don't compare to the summer.
I watched
too many
second,
specialized events.
The second that Lindsey Vonn didn't win gold, I was back to being like, I'd fuck this shit.
You know, like her bronze medal performance?
It was tight. Watching people haul ass down a mountain is pretty fun, but only if your girl gets gold. And she didn't. So I stopped caring immediately. Would we get like six gold medals, nine gold medals? We finished in fourth place.
Yeah, but we got our first Krellen medal. Gold medal.
Which you got to love that.
The boys are bringing it home.
At least we got that. But all in all.
Then they were trying to solicit like first class on the way home from United. And then United's like, nah, brah.
The people bitching.
You serious?
Yeah. Those people suck.
That's funny.
I saw some Canadian dude. He had it like he posted on Twitter. It's like a picture of his medal along next to his boarding pass. He's like, I'm stuck back in coach. Like, dude, fuck you. Who cares?
Yeah, sorry,
you're not
dude.
Better. You're not better than me. Who was also a coach?
I respect the move though.
Trying to like upgrade
him, attempting to get something out of it.
And he was bitching at the airline Air Canada for not upgrading him.
That's funny.
Your medal's not going to get. Come on, man. Fuck
That's
off.
That's funny, man.
It's not even real
gold. People like paid for those seats. You dickhead.
Wait, it's not real gold.
No, it's not real gold.
Yes, it is.
I don't think it is.
It's definitely real gold. I mean, it's like gold plated.
Dan, you can't just come out shooting from the hip about metals being or not
being
gold.
Real gold.
Mike, check that. I don't think it's real gold. No. I don't think it's real bronze or real
silver. Gold. It's like gold plated nickel or something like
that. It's really cheap, is what it is.
That is not true. It's not a full gold bar, but there is gold plated. Yeah. I had a friend whose family member had
like
a gold
bucks?
Medal, and the gold had been rubbed off. No, your boy Darren
like
Revelle tweeted out. It's less than you might think, actually.
See, I'm not gold
medal. I don't
medal
follow
worth.
Darren Revelle, but I saw something that the bronze medal, the actual value of the bronze is $5. The silver,
one ounce of gold
is
like
$1,200,
Dan, just so you know.
I know, but I don't think it's even close.
The gold medal at the PyeongChang Games is worth about $577.
That's
holy shit, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
I have pairs of shoes worth more money than that.
So it's gold-plated something.
Wow, that fucking sucks,
man. But that's value of the actual metal. The value of the metal itself is worth more than that. Like, if you eBayed it, you'd get more than $600 right. bucks for it.
Dead ass, then. What are you paying for a gold medal?
Me?
Yeah,
I
am not.
Shit. Yeah, I don't
but
want
someone
it.
Who collects that shit will pay.
You can have it.
Will pay,
it.
I don't know, $10,000for
You don't
that?
Think that's kind of telling that you literally wouldn't pay for one? Like, if somebody was like, hey, man, I have a gold medal from
curling.
One of, from
like,
curling.
100 Michael
I'm just trying
Phelps
to flip
medals.
It, though.
From curling, I have a gold medal. I'll give it to you for $5,000.
Yeah. Also, wouldn't you think like it being an Olympic gold medal add to the value than take away from the value?
Yes.
That's what he's saying. It's the value of the actual gold is nothing. Is next to nothing. It's $577. But
buying an Olympic medal is worth more than buying
it
the
being
the
an
actual
Olympic medal
like,
makes
components
it worth
of
much
the
more.
Thing.
Yeah. That being said, none of the three of us are interested in purchasing one.
Well, that's just not my bag. I don't care.
Who like, does?
Yeah. Who's the guy whose bag that
people
is?
People care.
What do you do with an Olympic gold medal once you've purchased it?
Dude, people spend $100 million on a piece of art that looks like shit.
Yeah, but
people collect dumb shit.
What are you supposed to do with all that money?
People like collect coins and stamps and baseball cards and
that's true.
And just crap.
All right. I get you. Don't compare it to art. That's what you do when you're a billionaire and you need something tight to put on the wall to make all your other billionaire friends impressed.
There are rich people who buy dumb shit.
Fair enough. I love those people.
Yeah.
We need those people to keep the economy going.
How much you get it for like a pawn shop gold medal?
Rick Harrison is going to buy one of those. He's going to offer you $3,000 for that. Rick Harrison will. And he's going to sell it for $10,000.
Who's Rick Harrison?
Pawn Stars.
Pawn Stars guy.
I have some non-Olympic related breaking news here. According to Kevin Seifert from ESPN.
Siegfried?
Seifert. The NFL Competition Committee appears to have unanimous agreement that the controversial catch rulings involving Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson should have been ruled complete, according to Giants owner John Mara. So the committee is working on changing the rule to, quote, relax going to the ground requirement moving forward. So Dez caught it.
Dez caught it. Can we go back and, no, we can't. So it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, but I don't think that relaxing the going to the ground rule is going to solve the problem, seeing as I don't even know what that means.
Nah, I still don't know what a catch is.
Well, they'll have more defining terminology around that, I'm sure.
I stand by the statement that this is all part, the catch controversy shit is intentional, that the NFL enjoys the negative
gets people
publicity.
Talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stand by that theory. Anyway, the Winter Olympics are over, and we don't have to talk about it
anymore.
We're
not going to miss them.
No, we won't.
We'll see you in 2022? From where, though?
I believe it's in Tokyo.
I'll be straight with you. I didn't know PyeongChang existed until like 3 weeks ago.
No one did.
Mm-mm. I don't know how they picked these places, but they can enjoy the ghost town.
You can go back to Asia. I think it's like an hour or two north of Seoul, Korea.
Have we discussed how if you're homeless, you should be going to Olympic villages post Olympic games?
We have.
Okay, because I still don't get why that's
not squatting.
Also, technically, is this three straight Winter Olympics in Asia? Is Sochi part Russia's split in half?
Sochi,
it's like half Europe, half Asia.
I don't care if Sochi is part of Russia. It sounds Asian, therefore it is Asian.
If you say you're like, if you're from that one side of Russia, do you say you're Asian?
No, you say you're Soviet. Oh, you're talking about now.
I don't know.
What's weird to me is like all the Middle Eastern countries, not all, but most of them are in Asia. Like it's weird, like people who are from India are like Asian, you know?
It's not Africa?
No, not India, but like...
The Middle East is not like mostly Africa, isn't it?
What?
Like towards the top?
We might have to edit this part out so we don't look like...
No, no.
Sound like total
dumbasses. We're leaving
but
it
like,
in. We are morons and people need to know that.
Like it's Turkey, for example. Turkey is half Asia, half Europe. So people for like Turkish people, some Turkish people are Asian, and that's just weird to me.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I'll be real with you. I don't care. I'm
also
not interested.
I think India is its own.
They're Indian.
Is India a continent?
Is it a continent?
Yeah, India.
No,
no, it's a country.
Yeah,
I know it's a country, but Australia is a
to be
continent.
A continent like North America is a continent.
Yeah,
I know that.
The Middle East,
Australia is a country and a continent, though.
Yeah.
The Middle East is like a buffer between Africa and Asia.
We're going to get fucking slayed.
Dylan
for this.
Just asked if India was a continent.
That's not the dumbest question.
I think we should just end on that. That was pretty brilliant.
It's not the dumbest question.
You tried to whisper it into the microphone.
Yeah, I didn't continent? Want anybody to hear me.
But you're holding the microphone. Hey, if you want to support the podcast so that we can get money to go to school to learn about...
I was never good at geography.
To learn about the map... Go to manoutfitters.com and use the code UNDERBOY at checkout to get 15% off any order of $150 or more. That includes free shipping. Type it in at checkout, UNDERBOY, one word.
Yeah, India is an Asian country.
Spell it just like it sounds.
And that's weird.
On Man Outfitters right now, we've got an entire section that's 50 to 70% off. It's the end of season markdown sale collection with Southern Marsh, Patagonia, Vineyard Vines, True Grit, Mizzen and Main, and more. So when you go to manoutfitters.com, it's the first thing you see at the top of the screen, end of season markdowns, 50 to 70% off. Click on that bad boy, see what you've got in there, then tack Underboy on when you're in your cart for an additional 15% off. It's called stacking. Get with it. Hit manoutfitters.com today. Use the code Underboy at checkout. Save a bunch of money and get fitted for spring and summer, or just get sale clothes for next winter. Is the way it looks right now, this winter might never end.
Well, it's sick
spring.
Of it.
It's spring now. Spring has sprung.
It is not spring.
It is not spring. It is
but
winter.
Nice try,
well, the
Dan.
Weather, it's all rain.
Well, it's still winter.
April showers.
God, Dan.
We're not
in February.
April.
God.
Fucking A, man.
Absurd.
Also, look at this. What? Doesn't it look like Libya? Do you consider Libya and Egypt to be the Middle East? Because that's Africa.
Yeah, I know that, though. Like, I knew Libya and Egypt were at the top of Africa. But yes, they're near the Middle East.
We need to stop.
Dan had a map pulled up on his iPhone, a world map that he was studying.
We have hotline calls?
Our Let's hotline number is 800-392-6344. We got two calls today. Every week we put the best calls. Here they are.
Hey, backdoor cover. This is Jake from St. Louis. Do I ever have to share my golf clubs? Me and a buddy were going to play golf the other day, but he forgot his clubs, and he wanted me to share mine. And I said no, and we just didn't play. Like, am I in the wrong there? I certainly feel like I am. Thanks.
This is a great question.
I fucking love that move.
That's it. Nah, man.
Dude, some people don't. This is a very personal choice. Some people don't want other people fucking with their clubs. If your dipshit friend. That is terrible at
it's
golf.
A total hack.
And you're
yeah.
a legit golfer, and he wants to use your clubs. You have every right to say no. If I ask to use your clubs, you can say no.
That's not the part that bothers me. I don't care about people touching and using my clubs. They're just golf clubs. But it's a broke boy move to have two people on one car in one bag. You look like a bunch of idiots.
All right,
just rent a set.
Let me put it this way:
or borrow from a buddy.
You don't necessarily care as much about golf clubs because you get free golf clubs.
That's not true. It's really hard to fuck up a golf club. It's really hard.
As a guy who has broken the head off multiple drivers in his life, I can tell you it's not that fucking hard.
And if you fuck up a 7-iron, it's $100 to replace or whatever. It's not terrible.
I'm just saying
he'll pay for it anyway.
I do get like okay, I'm terrible at golf, right? But when I get a new set of clubs, for at least the first 6 months or a year, I clean them after every time I play. I fucking, like, stare at them a lot. I spend a significant amount of time thinking about them. That's an important thing to you as a golfer.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking awful. So I get it if really good guys are, like, protective of their clubs and don't want their dipshit loser friend who sucks playing with their clubs.
Yeah, that's not the part that bothers me.
Yeah.
It's just a bad look. It's a broke boy look.
You get embarrassed just having one bag on the
cart.
Yeah,
like, is he just watching?
Look, I've done it before. I've done it before, and it's a terrible feeling.
Like,
it's
you're in the
tee enjoyable.
Box, you hit your drive, and you toss your driver to your buddy. Like, that's just a stupid look.
Hey, man, we pass me our pitching wedge that's ours that we're sharing.
The marshal drives by. He just kind of gives you a weird look, shakes his head.
And you know he's not showing up with his own balls, too. You're sharing your balls, your tees.
Everything.
Probably don't have a glove.
You're sucking each other's cocks by the end of the round.
It's a pricey afternoon.
You share each
other.
It's a terrible look.
It's a bad look. Don't do it.
It's significantly worse than complaining about the referees in the NBA.
I think
sharing one fucking golf bag.
Even like shitty
courses
will have a rental set too.
Yeah. And I think asking like somebody you're playing with for balls, like if you run out of balls, I feel like that's kind of a broke boy move too.
Can I borrow your clubs?
It's not only a broke boy move to have to ask for balls, and I do a lot. It's also just like the greatest indicator that you're a terrible golfer.
Yes.
Hey man, I'm out of the tool you need to play this game. Can you imagine in another sport? Hey man, I'm so bad that I lost the basketball. Can I have yours?
Dude, one time, my senior year, we were baseball and we were traveling to another school in Austin to play against them, and we forgot our helmets.
Yeah.
And so we had to borrow the helmets from our opponent, and we were like blue and gold, and they were red.
Oh,
we looked like
no,
a bunch
dude.
Of idiots, and our coach made us run out to the game for it. We looked like a bunch of idiots out there.
Did you
but
win
we
though?
Pummeled this team. They were terrible. We'd be in about like 20.
That's fucked up. That's why you don't let people use your helmets.
can we use our helmets and just beat the shit out of you? It was terrible.
At the end of the game, you got to be like, these are ours now. And you just go get on the bus. These are no longer your helmets. Oh, man. No, it's a good call from Jake.
That's a great call.
That's maybe the best call we've ever gotten. It's a very good question. Personally, I'm with him. If you don't want to.
We just didn't play. I love that part of it.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Go play tomorrow. But that fucker needs to get... Your buddy needs to bring his clubs.
Or borrow from a friend who's not playing. So you each have a set.
Jake, you should have played by yourself. Sent that dude home. And still, because it shouldn't take a round of golf away from you.
Have you gone out by yourself? Played a round?
Yeah.
I've never played by myself.
It can be extremely enjoyable. I'm all about it. I don't want to get paired up with strangers.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'll get paired up with some jackass.
It's got to be at a course where you know either you've spent enough time and they'll give you your own slot, or that there's never anybody at so you can have your own slot.
You go on like a Wednesday afternoon.
You play a couple balls. It's fun. It's a good way to get a lot of practice, and it's peaceful as hell. It's a lot cheaper than paying for like a psychiatrist. Maybe you go crazy and hang yourself on like the sixth green.
Yeah, for sure.
What? Next call.
Hey, Bill, this is Lucas from the Ohio area. So I just wanted to see where you're at in the NBA season. I'm currently a Cavs fan, and I honestly don't know how to feel. I know the classic LeBron is going to get to the finals, and the inevitable is going to happen where the Warriors become the Warriors and beat the shit out of them. But as a Rockets fan, how are you feeling? They're looking real good, but... Then again, the Warriors. Just want to know where you're at, how you're feeling, and good luck. Thanks. Bye.
Since the Warriors became the Warriors, pre-KD even, this is the biggest... obviously the Cavs at one point there beat them, but I think the Rockets are the best built, equipped team to compete with them. And that being said, I'm still where I stood a month ago. I don't think that's a... I think we have a chance, but it's not a good chance. Yeah. It's beating the Warriors in a 7-game series is going to be very, very, very hard.
You can still enjoy your life knowing that you're eventually going to die.
Absolutely.
That's what the Warriors are in basketball. They're death.
They're death.
It's inevitable. Yeah. They're going to beat you. It's fine.
But at least
you can enjoy the ride.
I at least feel like I've got a shot at beating death. You know, like there's a chance that I don't die, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to die.
You sent a squad text out a couple weeks back saying you think the Rockets can do it.
I think they
can. That's a strong ass team. I think it's very doable.
But
you got to beat
three generational shooters.
Yes.
Steph Curry, potentially the greatest shooter of all time.
I like
Kevin
how you
Durant.
Took Dan's generational term there.
Yeah.
except it's legit this time. And and Klay Thompson, a generational passer. That was the best.
And Jason Kidd.
I still
man.
Don't know what that means.
He's the Pistol Pete of today.
Oh fuck. But well, yeah, no, I mean, guys, look, I'm happy with where we're at. I think, let me put it this way. I think the Rockets would beat the Cavs in 5 games. I think the Rockets lose to the Warriors in 6.
Yeah, the Rockets right Warriors should just be the NBA Finals.
It would be nice, and that sucks that that's not the way it's going to go down. But
isn't Silver talking about getting rid of conferences and just taking the 16 best teams?
Yes, which looks crazy as hell if you haven't looked at the setup. Like there'd be some weird matchups.
I'm cool
I hope
with
they
it.
Don't do this. I don't want this is too much change for me. I can't handle
I'll
it.
Look at the 16 best teams in the playoffs.
I can't handle it. Dan.
Makes sense.
Just one thing on that. There was a thing the D-League, it was the D-League.
G-League.
They experimented. It was the D-League then. Several years ago, they experimented with this thing that, where the number one seed got to pick who they wanted in the first round.
Love that.
So in a 16-team situation, like if you're the Warriors and the number 16 seed is like the Knicks, you might not pick them because you might not want to fly across the country 4 times.
Or it's
or
like
whatever.
A bad matchup.
So
something.
You might be better off playing like the 15-seeded Kings, hypothetically.
Who?
And okay. That to me is kind of interesting, but I don't know.
That
where
adds
we
more
are
to
that.
The NBA drama.
And how does this decision get made, though? You have so many guys on a team. What are you voting for who you should
Yeah,
think
and
you
then you're
play?
Disrespecting people.
Throw
it's tight.
Names in a hat.
You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think the players probably have much of a say in it. It's probably, you know, front office.
But
coaching.
Even if it's front office, that's a bunch of dudes having to make a decision. It's just hard to get people to agree to, like, where to go eat lunch. How do you agree to who you want to play in a playoff series? I just can't see it. What was the question? Oh, I feel pretty good, though. I mean, look, man, the regular season is what it is. It's very, very, very hard to weigh your actual chances based on regular season matchups, but I feel as good as I possibly could considering that you're going to have to go play Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and company. Like, that's an all-star team. It would be an incredible feat to beat them in a 7-game series. And you also have to hope that nobody else catches fire and wipes you out before you even get the chance to play them, which is always a possibility as well. The NBA is a fucking nightmare. It's very hard to win. That's why you have super teams now, because guys got sick of not winning. So I don't know. I'm scared. I'm pretty scared. Just like I'm scared of dying.
Don't be scared, Bill.
But there's good days and bad days where I'm like, fuck it. Let's go. We'll see. Last night was a good night. Dan won money.
I did.
Rockets.
Thank you, Rockets.
Covered a spread with like 3 pivotal players out against a pretty good Jazz team.
Doesn't matter if they're on the second leg of a back-to-back. You just get good value. -2.5.
The altitude. Everybody thought the altitude was going to play a factor. I love reading picks from internet handicappers.
Mm-hmm.
And their explanations for why they make certain picks or whatever, they always crack me up.
Well, last night I picked Virginia Tech over Duke because I told you like 80% of the money was on Duke.
Yeah. That's an actual good strategy to fade the public. We as a public are idiots.
Mm-hmm.
If 80% of the tickets are on one team,
it's probably the other way.
You're probably making a pretty good bet going the other way. But going off of like these dipshit handicapper picks like the Rockets are on the second game of a back-to-back playing at the high altitude. Put 3 units on the Jazz to cover 2.5. Don't ever listen to people on the internet, especially us.
I think that line got to like
1.
1, yeah.
Yeah. Once all those people were announced as being out. And then guess what? They fucking crushed the original line. What, they won by like 9?
10, I think. 10 or 11.
Get the fuck out of here. I saw a Utah Jazz fan. A very white Utah Jazz fan, as I don't think there are any people of color of any descent other than white people in Utah as a state.
Not one.
Not a single one.
Other than Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, he's pretty sick. But he's not from there. He just plays there.
Yeah.
Anyway, this dude made the worst rap video I've ever seen in my life in response to losing a regular season game against the Rockets. The rap was mostly complaints about James Harden and his style of play.
Well, they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Are they really not?
They're 10 right now. It's a clusterfuck in the West. That's why it should probably be the 16 best teams in the NBA that make the playoffs.
How far away are we from baseball actually starting?
April.
So not far at all. Wait.
So February, like you're thinking spring training's in March.
I don't care
but
about
regular
spring
season starts like first weekend of April.
Dude, even as a guy whose team just is fresh off of a World Series, I have no interest in spring training. I don't get how people get so into it.
I don't either.
What is this?
No desire.
Fascination with watching men practice.
It's when you're like in your 60s or 70s when you retire, you go down to Florida, and then you just go day in, day out.
Dude, I've got a buddy who goes every year. He's a young man.
Does he keep his own book? Like, keeps his own stats?
It would not shock me at all. But his name's Jay, and he goes to Rangers spring training every season. Every season. He's fucking crazy. That's weird. It's a serial killer move.
I will never be on that level of fandom.
No, I'm not interested in that.
That's it. Same token, though. Go Phils.
Micah says that's it, so I think we're done.
Yeah, time to wrap her up.
Thanks for listening.
It's been fun.
We'll be back next week to talk about sports.
From the pool house.
Any shouts?
Maybe. We don't have an office.
Shouts?
Micah wants us out of the pool house right now.
No shouts.
Shouts to my mom. Happy birthday.
Shouts to Dan's mom.
Yeah.
Shouts to Jared. Happy birthday to Jared Borslow, the noted Bone Zone enthusiast. By the way, I have another show with him now. It's called Freeze All Motor Functions. It's on Grand X Labs, and it's about Westworld. Check that out. That's it.
All right. We're out of here. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.